I ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Begin reading in verse 1. I want to read the first three verses here. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Gospel which I preached unto you. Gospel which also you've received, gospel wherein you stand, gospel which also you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." I have three questions this morning that I would ask you. Three questions I believe would be good to ask ourselves. Three questions I hope will bring you comfort, as they have me in these last days. This outline, It's one that's been on my mind for a couple years now. And it's been on my heart particularly in the past few days. Shortly before our brother Dale passed away, we were up at Cleveland Clinic, and we were sitting there in the hospital room, and he had sent Jackie and Amy and Abby home for the evening. It was getting dark. He wanted them home before it was dark. He sent them home. We were just sitting there talking. And he said, I've had a lot of time here laying on my back, a lot of time to consider these Scriptures, a lot of time to think about eternity. Spent a lot of time in prayer, and he said, "I really believe it boils down to these three things." He said, "I think you can take it all and you can boil it down to these three things." Here they are. This is an outline he gave me a couple years ago. First question was this: am I a sinner? Am I a sinner? Second question: did Christ die for me? Did the Lord Jesus Christ die for me? And the third question was this: is he my only hope? Is all my hope, all my confidence in him, in Christ and Christ alone? So here for just a few minutes this morning, I'd like for us to look at these three questions in light of the Scriptures. Again, the first question: am I a sinner? Am I, as I stand before you right now, am I a sinner? The Scriptures declare that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Back in Genesis chapter 2, turn there with me, if you will. Genesis chapter 2. Look, beginning with verse 16 of Genesis 2. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it's not good that a man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. He took one of his ribs and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Look at verse 25. "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." But let's read on here. Look in chapter 3. "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Notice how he kind of takes away from God's word. "You shall not eat of any tree." Well, "the woman said unto the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.'" The woman added to God's word. "And the serpent said unto the woman, 'Ye shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.' And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." They tried to cover that quickly they tried to cover their own sin. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, 'Where art thou?' And he said, 'I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who hath told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree that I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?' And the man said, 'The woman whom thou gavest to me gave to me, and she gave of me the tree, and I did eat.'" Here we read on God pronounced judgment on Adam for his sin. Adam rebelled against God. Adam disobeyed God. In Romans 5:12, we read, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death, so death passed upon all men. We're sinners by birth. We're born into this world sinners." David wrote in Psalm 58, he said, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Of the many things that we have to teach our children, lying is not one of them, is it? We don't have to teach our children to lie. It's like weeds growing in the garden, or weeds growing out in the yard. We spend all this time and effort because we just want grass out there growing. But those weeds prop up without any effort. And they grow taller than anything else in the yard or the garden as well. "Behold," he said, "behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We're sinners by birth. We're sinners by choice. God told Adam, he said, "You can eat." Imagine, I just can't imagine what the beauty of that garden must have been. He said, everything there is yours. Don't eat that one tree. What did Adam, in a short, we don't know how much time, but I'm guessing a pretty short amount of time, they were out there. Probably, as we know, Eve started out just kind of walking by the tree and then looking at the tree, and then before you know it, she's taking that tree. tree and give it to Adam. And when Adam ate of that tree, he failed. He disobeyed God. Well, Paul writing in the Romans, he said, even when I would do good, even when I'm on it, even when I'm doing my best, evil is present with me. We're sinners by practice. It's who and what we are. Look at, turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Just back a few pages. Romans chapter 3. Beginning with verse 9 of Romans 3. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever thing the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before Almighty God. And our sin is pictured throughout God's word. Yet, men and women deny that fact. Deny that they're sinners. Why is that? Because they have no need of Christ. They have no need of Him. Men will say, they'll readily say, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm whatever. That's a quick answer. And people can talk about religious things. Go to work. Go. Just listen. People talk about religious things, and they can talk about religious works. They can talk about being pretty good people. They'll say, "Oh, I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad." They can say that just flows off the lips, doesn't it? Well, but they'll quickly say this: "I'm not a sinner." In fact, you'll see men and women get red in the face over it. I'm not a sinner. So-called churches even encourage men and women to get themselves right, to straighten themselves up before they even approach God. Well, what did the scriptures say? Who did Christ come to save? Did the scriptures say he came to save those that could straighten themselves up? That he'd save those who could get themselves right in his eyes. Scriptures say this. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, this is a faithful saying. This is a true saying. This is a saying that's not to be doubted. This is a saying that cannot be argued. This is a saying to be believed and received. And it's worthy of all acceptation. It's the gospel. It's worthy to be heard. It's the truth that's worthy to be heard. Christ Jesus came into the world. Almighty God robed himself in human flesh. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's who he came. That's who he came to save. He came to save sinners. And listen, it doesn't say he came to try and save. It doesn't say he came to attempt to save. It doesn't say he came to help save or offer to save or partially save by doing his part and let man do the rest. It said he came to save. And he came to save sinners. He lived, he died, he rose again to save sinners. So I ask you that question again. Am I a sinner? Question two. Did Christ die for me? Did the Lord Jesus Christ die for me? Look at, turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 11 of Luke 9. It says, when the people, when they knew it, our Lord had went about healing and he had went to a place there in the desert. It says, and the people, when they knew it, they followed him. They followed him. And he received them. And he spake unto them of the kingdom of God. And see this part, this last part. He healed them that needed healing. He said another place, the whole don't need a physician. But we read that he healed those that were in need of healing. Can I take my place as a sinner? Can I fall at his feet seeking mercy? Am I without help, without hope, without God in this world? Time and time in the scriptures, we see needy sinners approach the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy. And time again, he healed them, didn't he? Look at just a few scriptures. They're close by here. Look at Luke, if you're still in Luke 9, turn over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. The woman. Look at verse 43 of Luke 8. There was a woman here. She had an issue of blood. 12 years. Spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood was stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and you say, who touched thee?" And Jesus said, Somebody had touched me, for I perceived that virtue was going out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, and she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Turn back another page to Luke 7. And again, these are just These are throughout the scriptures. Look at Luke 7. Look at verse 37. Behold a woman in the city which was a sinner. She was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. And when the Pharisees, these self-righteous Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, they spake within themselves, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she's a sinner." Everybody around knew she was a sinner, right? And Jesus answered, said unto them, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. And he said, a certain creditor, which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered, said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, see this woman? I entered into thy house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you didn't anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Did he die? Did he die for me? Did the Lord Jesus Christ die for me? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Look here in verse 6 of Romans 5. For when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Who died? Who died for the ungodly? The Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of God. He died. He died a death of shame. He died under the wrath and judgment of God. He died the death of the cross, bearing our sin, bearing our shame. What do we read? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Philippians 2:8, let me just read it to you. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He died for his people as the sinner's substitute. He died for all of God's elect that God might be just and justified. Here in Romans 5:6, if you still have it, it says he died for our sins. He died for our sins when we were without strength to obey him, unable to keep his law, no ability to help ourselves. In bondage to the law and unable to do anything about it, in due time, at the appointed time, at God's time, he died. Christ died for us. He died for sinners. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Did the Lord Jesus Christ die for me? Turn back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. Am I a sinner? Look at verse 3. Christ died for our sins. You see that? Am I a sinner? Did he die for me? Read that again. It says, Christ died for our sins. And then the third question. Is he my only hope? Is the Lord Jesus Christ my only hope? Look at verse 1 there. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand. wherein you have hope, wherein you have confidence. What is this gospel? Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Is the Lord Jesus Christ, is He my only hope? Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 25. Luke 2. It says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." Now that his name, it means hearkening. It means one who listens. We're told to be slow to speak and quick to hear. Well, this same man Simeon, he was a just and a devout man. In his community, he was known like Job was, a man that feared God and avoided evil. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the comfort of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And by faith, there he was, waiting for the Lord, waiting on the Lord. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. He came into the house of worship. You know, if a man would seek Christ, it would make sense. That's where he'd seek him, wouldn't it? In the temple. That he'd seek him where the word's preached. Now, God can save a man wherever and wherever he's pleased to do so. I believe we'd be wise. We're told to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We're to come and hear the word preached. But there he was in the temple, in the house of worship. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, look at verse 29, Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Is Christ, is the Lord Jesus Christ, my only hope? You know, by nature, we like to cling to the things of this world. Anyone who would have been over our house in the last week, we cleaned out the garage, would have definitely quickly agreed that we're quick to, I know I am. We hauled off a truckload of stuff stacked over the cab of the truck that's been out there in that garage for who knows how long. And it's, as Adam would say, it's junk. It's just a bunch of junk. And when you get right down to it, most of the things on this earth, that's exactly what they are. Junk. Just a bunch of junk. The works of our hands, the things that we do, We take pride in those things. We cling to them. We just do. By nature, that's what we do. And if we're being honest, the things of this world, again, the things in it. And I'm not saying that to try to make anybody feel guilty or feel bad about yourself. Don't get me wrong, okay? That's not why I'm saying this. It's just true. It's just what we do. But in salvation, in the saving of a sinner, all of it, what we say, what we do. The Lord Jesus, he told Martha over in Luke 10, he said, Martha, he said, "You're careful, you're troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the good part. Mary hath chosen that part which shall not be taken away. What was that? What was Mary doing? She was sitting right there at the feet of the Master. Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listening to every word. Everything he had to say. Simeon, when he took up, when he took him up in his arms, what did he say? What did he say? Did he say, you guys have no idea how long I've been in this temple waiting. Well, I've just been here every day. Is that what he said? Did he say, you go around and ask about me. You go around this community and you ask about who I am. I'm a faithful and just man. Not what he said, did he? What did he say? He said this. He said, let thy servant depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Thou hast promised. Thou hast promised. I've seen thy salvation. What had he seen? He seen Christ. There he was, right there. He was looking to Christ. Christ and Christ alone. Well, I ask you again, am I a sinner? Am I a sinner? Did Christ die for me? Is he all my salvation? Is he all my hope? You know, I can't think of one sinner in God's Word looking, and I'm certainly no Bible scholar, but I can't think of one occasion in God's Word where a seeking sinner came to him, cried out for mercy, that he didn't receive it. Time and time again. That scripture we read earlier in Luke 9 said the people, when they knew it, they followed him. They followed him. And he received them. And he spake unto them of the kingdom of God. And he healed them that needed those that were in need of him. He did. Why would a man or a woman or a young person seek salvation anywhere else? Anyone else but the Lord Jesus Christ? Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Christ